We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
The McNeil and Parkin Show. Afternoons on the Score.
Yes, we are. Thanks for hanging out with us. Really good news to pass along. The White Sox releasing the following statement. Chicago White Sox pitcher Danny Farquhar, who suffered a brain hemorrhage from a ruptured aneurysm during a home game on April 20th, has been discharged from Rush University Medical Center Monday afternoon and is resting at home with his family. Apparently, his neurosurgeon expects Danny to be able to pitch again in the future.
Oh, that's great.
But he will not medically release Farquhar to pitch in a competitive game during the 2018 season in order to allow him to fully recover from the brain hemorrhage.
Yeah, next year can wait.
Yeah, so
the White Sox aren't in any hurry, case you haven't seen it, but that's great news. I'd forgotten all about that till you said his name.
Yeah, I mean, the White Sox have been doing a really good job of posting updates and, like, walking that fine line within the broadcast. When I've tuned in, I've seen some updates and their social media accounts and players going out there. Like, they're keeping the story out there. They're showing the jersey hanging out in the bullpen mm-hmm. and all that. They're doing a good job of reminding the fans about the story, but also privacy, right? In a time like this with such a serious, life-threatening medical situation.
Doubt.
So I thought they've done a really nice job of keeping the fans informed as it has warranted.
Good to be good at something.
Yeah, right. On the field, it's been a struggle. Yeah, on pace for 45 wins this year.
Whatever. That's not going to cut it with an over-under of 68.
No.
And we didn't get the over on Todd Hollinsworth great questions or great points either.
I know. Well, we could have been better.
Yeah. The over-under was set at 3.5. We got the 3.
Good line by you, though.
Under would be the key word.
Under was the key word.
So the Bears have also apparently said that they were able to scrub the iPad that Roquan Smith lost, the team-issued iPad that in theory had the defensive playbook and all that. They're able to scrub all the data off of it. So there's no concern that whoever stole Roquan Smith's iPad in Georgia has proprietary information from the Bears, which is really good. But did you read the story from Phil Thompson in the Trib of all of the things that were in his 2018 X5?
I only read just a little bit of it.
So, Roquan Smith, great taste in cars. The new 2018 X5, it looks tremendous. The team-issue iPad, gone.
His title game jersey, right?
Title game jersey, Rose Bowl jersey, title game helmet, shoes, headphones, Bluetooth speakers, and two watches. All stolen out of his X5.
And Jimmy Irsay's briefcase with $100,000 in the trunk.
Yeah, thankfully nothing like that was taken. I mean,
why do you need to keep all that in your vehicle?
Maybe he's moving? He was back in Georgia. He's moving to Chicago. He's driving with it.
I can't help but laugh, though, when you're talking about the Bears scrubbing his iPad.
Yeah.
Like a guy who's busting the window on a luxury car in Georgia is going to sell it to the Packers.
It's considered with the playbook. Yeah, well, they got the iPad out of there, but I'm just saying.
How'd you get this? Well, I busted into his Beamer.
Okay. Are you a hoarder of things in your car?
I'm not in my car, no.
Well, that's what I'm
I keep golf balls and an umbrella and musky baits in there. You never know when you may have to jam. But no, I don't. Yeah. Why would you?
I know people that are like that, that have just, I never know, my buddy in KC, he had 6 different pairs of Jordans in the back seat of his car. He's like, yeah, you never knew if you had to change your outfit. Like, you have 6 pairs of shoes in a car at all times?
Golf season, I'll keep an extra shirt in there in case I get too schwitzy.
Sure.
Always have a large bottle empty in case you have to pee.
Come on. When's the last time you had to do that while you were driving?
Not when I was driving, but when I got to the parking garage at 9:30 this morning.
Are you serious?
Oh, sure.
Wait, what? Is this an age?
Well, I'm not going to go in the garage on the floor.
Well, no, I agree.
I don't have to walk across the street from the garage and go in a bathroom.
It's 7 or 8 minutes, man. I don't have 7 or 8 minutes sometimes.
So this is an age thing?
Probably, yeah. Wow. It's an age combined with a caffeine hydration thing.
Okay.
Yeah, because I drink 3 or 4 cups of coffee in the morning, and I drink a ton of water.
Well, I mean, good. I hear you should drink water.
Yes, you should. It's a good thing for all of us.
I'm trying really. So how much water do you drink?
I probably drink 3 or 4 liters a day.
It's pretty good.
That's not great.
It's not
you should
great.
Drink more than that.
Oh, I know. That's what I hear. 8 bottles of water a day or some nonsense like that. But I'm sorry for my, you know, expression of surprise. I did not think if the question was, you know, like.
These are the problems of hydrated people, Danny.
Well, but Danny, you're a hydrated guy. When's the last time you peed in a bottle in your car?
Yeah, I can't speak to that. I think that's an older guy thing, because I imagine my dad and my uncle's doing the same thing probably.
So what, young guys, we can hold it?
Yeah.
Okay. The prostate is stronger.
No, we can hold it. Of course. Okay, fine. But today, I didn't think I would have gotten.
Yeah.
Oh, my bad.
Yeah. I mean, it commutes 40 minutes.
Yeah.
How many times a week, I guess, is the next question.
Right. Exactly. Thank you, Chef, for furthering the
story. Ask me that question on Friday.
Well, it's a different kind of week. We got 2 Cubs games this week, so.
That doesn't mean I won't have
to commute to work each day. Yeah,
I'm coming
right.
in both days. Yeah. I'll be here.
All right. So you have you change the bottle out?
I always have an empty because I'm always drinking bottles of water, so there usually is an empty nearby.
There's an empty nearby.
If there isn't, I lose a bottle of water. I'm going to pour the bottle of water out because I'm not going to pee in the garage. I've outgrown that.
Okay. It's just, I didn't know. I didn't know it was
but
such a common
But that has nothing
occurrence.
To do with Roquan Smith and
no,
hoarding.
No, this is more interesting.
Is it really?
Yeah, you have.
I don't think it is.
You have discarded bottles of water because you need to have a bathroom with you at any time.
Of course you're going to keep the bottle in your vehicle. If you finish a bottle, you're not going to throw it out the window, are you?
Well, no.
Why would anybody do that? That's terrible.
Mac has a full bottle of urine next to his Rose Bowl jersey as well.
Yeah, at all times.
Now I have a bottle of Roquan Smith's urine. Next to a Rose Bowl jersey.
So once you complete that act, you just walk through the garage to the nearest.
And put it in a waste can. Yeah, you put the cap on it and put it in a waste can.
I mean, that's a potentially compromising situation. Dan McNeil from The Score just walking through a garage with a bottle of your own urine.
There's nobody in the garage to see.
All right, I'm just saying. This is an odd
thing. I thought you were talking about maybe getting arrested. Look, if I get arrested, I hope it's for public urination. Let me just put it that way.
Can I throw a flag on the play here just so it's out there right now? I just got the text from Mitch. Be careful.
Okay.
Be careful.
Always have a record ready.
I'm glad he said something before I had to be the wet blanket today.
All right.
Wow. Okay.
Just How'd be careful is all. Wet?
Just be careful. I don't even know what I'm being careful about. Urination?
If this phone rings.
That's a big FCC thing. It's a no-no.
If this phone rings, disconnect their microphones and always go to a record.
So we gave him some characters.
Yes.
Urinator. Dan McNeil. Urination ticket. Okay, fine.
People do it.
No, I realize. Multiple times a day. It's not supposed to be yellow, I've heard.
You mean dark yellow. Gold. Right. No, you don't want that.
Right. Course.
Right.
Any form of yellow.
Tomorrow, a little yellow.
Just being
careful,
clear.
I feel like we're more descriptive since the disclaimer of being careful.
I'll bring you in the appropriate hue tomorrow. I'll bring it in.
He'll also be in.
And pet hue.
He does your fantasy dress with you, doesn't he, Mac? Appropriate.
Somewhat
hue.
Golden.
So many fine running backs. Le'Veon Bell. David Johnson. Here's Augie Ojeda. Whistled foul. Foul. Foul's two syllables for Pat. Foul.
See, you notice things. Like when you whatever that question was that you asked to Casper earlier, you notice things. You're a very astute consumer of the broadcast medium, which I am as well, so I appreciate it. But I did not notice the jump cuts in the Saturday ABC 7 game.
Are the Cubs on ABC 7 tonight? I want you to notice this. And I don't know if it's worse when it's on the road. No, they're on NBC tonight. NBC again tomorrow. Channel 9 on Wednesday. NBC Friday. ABC 7 Saturday.
Okay.
Mark this on your calendar. You tell me if you think the direction, if the technical competency of the crew Saturday matches that of Channel 9 or NBC.
And you're saying it's less.
I'm saying it's terrible.
Terrible.
It was whiplashy over and over and over again. Yeah, I mean.
Wow.
We typically get, and I don't mind guys doing things unconventionally or trying to change up, but when we get a shot of a batter in the batter's box, when they cut to it, typically we see his entire body. They were cutting him from the waist up, and on a 60-inch TV screen, I'm almost sending a text, and I look up and Colton Wong is standing in my basement. It's like, wow, what is that?
It's close up.
It's an extreme close up.
Counting nose hairs.
And a lot of quick edits, too. Let me digest that for a second. And when Len was describing that awesome, that aesthetically amazing St. Louis skyline, they were doing it. And Len referenced the arch, the iconic arch, he called it. They did a rush job. They just passed all the buildings. It's like, slow down. You can get to the arch. He just mentioned it, but you don't have to rush the camera to it.
Okay.
It was really whiplashy, really noticeably
whiplashy. Are there that many buildings to look at in St. Louis besides the arch?
Four of them, yeah.
A tall, thin hotel, isn't that right by the ballpark? And that's about it. A
couple of banks,
State
maybe.
Capitol or whatever.
It's our hotel. Here's State City Capitol, Hall. Here's the arch. It's for people leaving. Yada, yada, yada. You're done here.
I think the State Capitol's in the State Capitol.
Well, I was going to say, but there is like some form of government building close, City Hall or whatever it is. And that's like it. There's your tour of St. Louis.
Much. I know.
There's the Clydesdales and enjoy the rest of the ride home.
They started just very slowly moving from left to right. And then as soon as Len said arch, boom, just swing me on over there. Woohoo.
Oh, I gotta step my game up.
Yeah, watch it on Saturday.
All right, I will check it out. A lot of people saying that the Snapple bottle is preferable to the bottle with water.
Yeah, or in the old day when we were teenagers, Mickey's Big Mouth.
Mm.
There was a was a malt liquor called. Well, that's the same thing with a Snapple bottle. It's wider.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, I've got a steady hand, so I don't have to worry about
it. Okay, good.
Yeah.
Good. That part hasn't come into effect yet.
No.
Okay. 32-ounce Gatorade bottle, all sorts of different opportunities. I'm just trying to make Tanny uncomfortable, is basically.
Well,
I'm
you've succeeded.
Back in that direction. We got Bruce Levine coming up, by the way, at the end of the hour. And some people are like, sports? Question mark? Yes, we will get back to the Cubs coming up. It's McNeil and Park. It's on the Score.
Here's Ventura, RBI single in the first. Watch out. Look at this. Robin took exception to the pitch and went after Nolan Ryan. And there's Lamont. And here we go again. I cannot see who is in the middle. Bo is in there. Yeah, somebody drags out Doug Manzolino. Jeff Schwartz.
Boy, Mickey Hatcher's got a pretty good cut over his right eye, as you can see right there. Boy, this thing's getting ugly out. Well, you can see that Nolan was hitting Robin right on the top of his head, so he probably hurt his hand a little bit in that thing, and he did get one good lick in on an uppercut.
Not a Brad Marchand type of lick either.
No.
Mark Harrelson and Tom Pachorik on a brawl at the old Roman's Diamond Palace, the original Comiskey Park.
August of 93, the audio from NBC Chicago. This segment of McNeil and Parkins brought to you by Liberty Mutual Insurance. You have enough things to worry about every day. Insurance shouldn't be one of them. You can leave worry behind when Liberty stands with you. Liberty Mutual Insurance. Were you a fan of that broadcast in its time?
I was a huge fan of Harrelson and Pachorik. I loved it. I wish I would have seen more of it yesterday, but the beauty of technology is I have it saved.
Yep.
So I can always spend time with it.
The season pass, right? You get every White Sox,
yes,
every Cubs game.
Yes, I record them all. They're all there.
No, me too. Tanny, I know you are you're the biggest Sox fan of the group. Did you enjoy the broadcast yesterday?
I did. I was tweeting about it yesterday about how, the reason why I love baseball is because of Frank Thomas and my dad taking me to a lot of Sox games when I was growing up. But a part of the reason I didn't realize it until yesterday was how much of that was because of Hawk and Wimpy's TV broadcast. I mean, I watched every Sox game that I could when I was a kid. It's hard to sit down when you're a kid and watch baseball, but those two guys having fun, kind of made me love baseball and love the White Sox without me really realizing it until yesterday.
Yeah, they were a lot of fun. They were an easy listen, and it was a lot of playful ball busting. It never got ugly.
Sure.
And the word was, at the end of the 90s, For reasons, and Harrelson, and I asked him about this a long time ago, and he denies it. He's denied it any time he's been asked. He wanted more space. He wanted it to be his booth.
Mm.
And I don't know if by saying that it means 15 feet away from your broadcast partner.
Or on airspace.
Which he was with Darren Jackson when they flipped to the DJ booth in 2000.
Yeah.
I think it was 0-0 Jackson's first year.
Well, this audio that Tanny put together was from mostly pregame with Chuck Garfine, who I think, by the way, has been a very nice addition to those broadcasts. I think the White Sox broadcast, it's great with Hawk and doing the Sundays and all of that, but Garfine added to the Benetti Stone booth has been really good. So this is Hawk and Wimpy pregame going down the memory lane with Chuck Garfine.
Well, Hawk Harrelson, is back in the booth today and with his former partner, Tom Pachorek, and they are back together for one final broadcast.
What do you mean? No, there's no finality to this.
This isn't the finale? Chuck. You guys can come back and do this again?
Sure.
He is.
Yeah, I don't.
This is going to be my last one with him, for sure.
Can you stop me from laughing?
Is that a warning, or is that? Hopefully it's not. I would love to see you guys do this again and again and again.
But you know, Chuck, you and Bill were just talking about, you know, you take guys like Bill, Wimpy, and myself who've been out there and played the game, and we've watched a lot of redos in our careers over the year. This really, you know, sure you want to win. There's no question about that. But this doesn't bother him. It doesn't bother Bill. It doesn't bother me because it's growing pains. You know, it's like raising kids. They're going to make a lot of mistakes. And as Bill said, you know, usually you lose it at this point with pitching. And if you don't have the bullpen, I don't care how good your starters are, you're going to lose anyway.
Yeah, the Sox apparently have made that commitment to the youth and building from down below. And all the farm teams have excellent talent. And I think it's matched only by the Atlanta Braves from that standpoint. So you got to be a little bit more patient, I think, with the White Sox players. But there are a lot of good players on the team still that have yet to really show what their potential is.
Well, listen, we talk a lot about the White Sox. I'd prefer to instead talk about you guys for a while. I spend many a nights watching you guys call games together in the 1990s. Why have things clicked between you two guys for so long?
Well, you were in diapers back then. How do you remember?
I was in my 20s.
You know, I'll tell you what. With Wimpy, what's not to like about Wimpy? I mean, he's an upper. He's there every day. Of all the years I've known Wimpy, even when he was a player here with the White Sox, I really can't recall a day that he's been a downer. In all the years we worked together, we only got in one argument, and that was in this booth right here, and that was about Michael Jordan. So that's...
Yeah, he couldn't hit a five iron.
But it's just something Wimpy, doing an easy game is anybody can do an easy game when it's, you know, a 2-1, 1-0, 3-2 game. One of the things about broadcasting is handle the bad games. You know, when it's 13-2, 9-1, big scores like that, that's where Wimpy really excelled. I mean, I just let him more or less take over, and he would find something interesting and funny to talk about. So when you get a guy like that, you know, you don't have to say anything. You really don't have to say anything because it'll take care of itself.
Yeah, let me ask you this question here, because I came back here in 1992. So, but first of all, I want to congratulate you both on your popularity. That's not an easy thing to do, is become popular broadcasters, because, you know, if the club loses, they generally hate you, and if they don't, they love you. But your popularity really stands out to me. I guess the one question I wanted to ask, because I heard so much of it when I got back here, I wanted to know if either one of you had your thumbs worked on, because all as I heard for 10 years was how you got jammed, how you couldn't do this, and I want to know at your age if you wouldn't have those thumbs redone.
Wimpy, I tell you what, he got jammed a lot. But one thing about him, the thing I always remember about him in uniform, was he was playing first base. And yes. On a pop-up. What happened with that pop-up?
Well, I was having my typical game against Ron Guidry and the Yankees. I had 3 strikeouts, and I hit into a double play. And I figured I got to do something to help the team. So it was the top of the 8th inning. There was a foul ball hit down the right field line down at Old Comiskey. And, you know, the gravel there was very bumpy and stuff. So I was going to catch this ball. I didn't care what it did. So I ran, looked up finally, and the ball hit me right on that beanie, my hat. Canseco-like, and bounced up about 20 feet in the crowd. But it looked like it hit the cement right next to where my head was. So I was, like, groggy, but I refused to rub it. Now, after the game, I got this ice pack. I look like coming on the Conan's with an ice bag on my head. And then one guy comes up to me. Hawk comes in the clubhouse and looks at me and says, "That's all right. I got it." He was the only guy that saw that ball hit me in the head.
That's one of the funniest things I've ever seen, Billy. I'll tell you. Right on top of that beanie.
Spend some time today telling us some stories like that. This is your last time in the booth, because I think the people that have admired you through the years in Chicago would like to hear a lot more of those stories.
Well, we got one story I want to see if you guys can tell, because I know our time is short here. They got to do some work there before the game.
Work.
You guys called the game, the Nolan Ryan and Robin Ventura fight. You guys were in the booth. Your memories of calling that game and seeing that unfold.
Well, I tell you what happened after the game. Robin, I walked up to Robin. He just looked at me and said, I shouldn't have done that. And what did Jerry Reinsdorf have the best line about?
Well, after the game, I went to Robin. I said, Robin, what in the hell are you doing? He said, well, when he drilled me, it sort of pissed me off. And I went out there. I got halfway to the mound. I said, my God, that's Nolan Ryan. Then we go to Sox Fest a couple of years when Robin was managing. And Jerry put the line of the year in. He said, Robin Ventura is the only hitter in Major League history to get 5 hits off Nolan Ryan in one game.
Good stuff from NBC Chicago. The audio brought to you by Web Chevy. Searching for a great deal on Chevys in Chicago? Visit Web Chevy in Plainfield or Oak Lawn.
It was a terrible decision by young Robin Ventura. He did. He stopped what he was doing. And then Ryan just grabs him around, puts him in a headlock, and just gives him a bunch of noogies on the head. It was embarrassing.
Yeah.
Robin Ventura, great hitter, I'm guessing. Not the first guy you'd pick in a street fight to be on your team.
Well, no. I mean, I have that incident with Nolan Ryan as evidence, right?
Mm-hmm.
I was like, you took on a pitcher and you lost.
He's busy lighting up a room everywhere he goes anyway. That's Robin Ventura. That was in Texas, by the way.
You said Chicago.
I said Chicago. It was in Texas in 93.
I would imagine for a lot of Sox fans, hearing those two having that conversation or the broadcast Sunday just felt kind of like time travel. I know that's how it is. Like, even when I tune into Steve Stone on White Sox broadcasts, I think of, Steve Stone calling Cubs games when I was a kid.
Yeah, I likely would put Harrelson and Pechorek, not individually, but as a tandem, I likely would put them on my Mount Rushmore of Chicago broadcast teams.
Okay.
That would be the only White Sox crew on my Mount Rushmore.
I could see that.
Well, let me rethink that. Harry Carey and Jimmy Pearsall were pretty good in the Jurassic Park days. I grew up with those guys.
You don't have to be self-conscious about referencing the old stuff.
It's good that you
the people who have the bottles and the car. Yeah,
good that you guys are here to remind me that we're not all baby boomers. We're not. There's guys who are millennials.
No, people kept procreating after that generation and.
Well, for a long time, a lot of us forgot about that.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if you had that one tagged. It's a dinosaur. My bad. I'll do it myself.
Had I not spent 10 hours with my column, I would have changed my, I need to change my profile pic on Twitter to a Tyrannosaurus Rex.
Oh, yeah, with
that's
a waffle in
that's
mouth?
Tomorrow's. That's tomorrow's project.
Yeah. By the way, your 100 movie list, I'm sure it's getting terrific traffic at 670thescore.com. During commercial breaks, I've just been typing up movies, mostly off the top of my head, sometimes Googling best comedy, best movie, whatever. I'm at 72. It's not as easy as you would think it would be to make a top 100 movie list.
I think 85 without looking
at
online or looking at my DVD carousel in the basement. And then you go, oh, my God, I got some work to do. I got some shaving to do here.
Right.
Because if you watch a lot of movies, and I guess you have.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to be difficult for you to pair it to 100.
But I like your way of doing it with favorites. It's just the movies that you enjoy most, the movies that you would enjoy watching most. I kind of do the – I'm thinking about writing a column to follow up your column for the website. I've never wrote
one. Okay, cool.
But, yeah.
You've never wrote one.
Written one.
Okay.
For the Scores website. Right. I'll need editing. Okay, you as a professional editor.
No, that's
big,
all right.
Big grammar guy over here.
I never wrote a
column.
There was a time at Syracuse when I thought about writing about the Orange. I was going to write a column about Dick McPherson when he comes back to town.
But is Orange singular or plural? I never was able to figure that out.
It's always plural. When using it in a headline, it should have the plural verb.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't, headline writers, some of them don't know that.
Yeah. The Syracuse Orange.
Win.
Win.
Not wins.
Right.
The Miami Heat.
Win.
Win. Not wins.
The White Sox.
Win.
Win.
Win. The collective noun takes the collective verb.
Yeah. But that's confusing.
It is. The English is the hardest language there is.
You think so?
I know so.
I've heard people say that. It just feels...
No, it's because we have a million words that mean the same thing. We call them synonyms.
We do. Only one word for synonym?
Right. And there's verb tenses that are very difficult. Yeah, it's
just always seemed very like American-centric to be like, oh, no, we have the most difficult of the languages. You have your metric system and your languages that are simple. We have our own way of doing things. So I never knew if it was actually true. If English is,
I don't. I would think it's a matter of opinion.
That's
isn't
what
it?
I'm, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. Well, you said I know it,
right?
Well, like it was fact.
People present it as fact, so who am I to question them?
An American.
I was looking at candy today, with Chinese lettering on it, and to me, have you ever seen Chinese or Japanese? That looks like that, just because they're symbols.
Yeah,
that looks like that would be an incredibly difficult alphabet to learn.
I agree with you.
Because they have an imported candy wall at Dylan's Candy Store.
Why did you? Has he paid this off to any of you guys?
No.
Earlier, by the way,
and he has a bag of candy that he wants to unveil for us as well.
Why did you go candy shopping?
I'm a
today?
Giver.
You're a giver.
I'm a giver, and I was I was passing it. I like candy,
yeah.
And I thought you guys might be prone to eating candy, so I thought I would stop in and buy a few things as I was walking down the street because we won Saturday. And
yes,
as the
did.
White Sox will tell you, they taught us this way back in the Win and Ugly in 1983 season.
83.
Win and Ugly is sweet.
Mm.
So since we won $370, let me rephrase that. Since we earned $370 Saturday, I thought we would celebrate with some suckers and some cowtails and some truffles and things like that.
Mac was really disappointed in us non-baby boomers, though, when he sent the group text. Like, what kind of candy do you like? Tanny came in with M&Ms.
And I ate mine already. Thank you very much. It's delicious.
Shep with Butterfinger. Yeah,
it's long gone.
And me with Snickers. I have not consumed it yet. And you were looking for more exotic candy.
I should have been more specific. I was like, what kind of candy do you guys favor? And I could have gotten that at a gas station.
I didn't know that I was going to Willy Wonka's Chocolate Factory.
Oh, would I love to go there and meet the candy man?
Oh. The everlasting gobstopper.
He can paint a rainbow.
Yeah. Looked like a fun time. Willy Wonka's.
It's on my list.
I know. Number 71.
71, I think.
71.
Yeah.
Not the Depp version, obviously.
No. I quit doing acid in the 80s.
Right.
That is a trippy Beatles cartoon right there.
How do I not understand a remake of a movie that I've watched?
That's a creepy movie.
Really? Really
yeah,
is.
Yeah, bad. And I love Johnny Depp, too.
Yeah, I feel like he hasn't done much good in a while. Is that accurate?
Did you see Black Mass? That's only a few years old.
I did not see that movie.
I think
was it good?
Mac, I'd argue that movie has like the best ensemble cast, but the movie just sucks.
I heard it was terrible. I never saw it.
I didn't like it the first time.
Oh. Got to rewatch
now,
Black Mass.
The fifth time through Black Mass, started really, really buying in.
You have it on DVD or Blu-ray?
I have it on neither.
Wow.
But I've just seen it on television.
Seen it five times.
Yeah,
without
it's cool. I mean, if you like crime stories,
if you
like dark violence, mobby stories,
love it.
Boston is a great backdrop for that sort of thing. We learned that in The Town. Perfect, perfect backdrop.
You're just the first person I've ever talked to that liked that movie. Because I love that genre, of course. I feel like most guys do. But I have not heard much positive about Black Mass. But now, because I love your list so much, I'm going to go out and see
I'm very attracted to one of the participants, too.
Johnny Depp?
I mean, not Johnny Depp. I can't remember the cat's name.
I don't know.
He's in
I haven't
Black
seen...
Mass. Yeah, I'll check IMDb.
When
we go. Yeah, I'll check when we take a time out. I'm not going to do it in midstream.
Oh, no, that's fine. Well, we're about to step
aside. If I do it in midstream, I'll grab the Aquafina bottle.
Exactly. Careful. Mitch told us to be careful about all that. I cannot believe it. Most shocked since I've been working with you, other than the paralyzed vocal cord thing, the number of people that agree with you and were relating to traveling with an empty bottle in your car at all times.
Yeah.
This is a generational thing.
Well,
we're going to teach each other a lot.
Yes, we will do that, and you will come around to finding this to be a necessity when you get a little bit older.
I'll get there eventually. I think we should have Bruce Levine on the show fairly soon.
He's a guy
soon.
Who's got a bottle nearby.
We'll
In fact, he's got a stadium, pal.
We'll ask. It's McNeil and Parkins on the score.
It's going to be James. Oh,
here it is.
It's under,
three seconds
to go.
Throws up the floater. Oh, good night, Cleveland. That is for you.
He's ridiculous. LeBron James has the Cavs up 3-0. They'll probably sweep Toronto tonight. It's your time for a chance to win $1,000 in cash on the score. This hour's keyword is hero. Text hero to 72881 by the end of the hour. Again, the keyword is hero, H-E-R-O, to 72881. One randomly selected nationwide entrant from this hour will win. Please do not text and drive. Message and data rates may apply. Every Cubs beat writer and reporter is tweeting out the exact same news at the exact same time. Corey Mazzoni has been called up by the Cubs. Farrell has been demoted. Can't imagine why. Yeah, a couple of walk-offs the other way. We'll do that for you.
He also forgot to cover first base last week. Anything hit on the ground to the right side, Lucas, feel free. When Anthony Rizzo moves to his right, you go ahead and run over and touch that bat.
That was the game where it happened three different times. It happened with that was the Darvish start, right?
Yes.
Where he failed to get over there. Yeah. That was probably the most frustrating Cubs game of the season thus far. Like the at bats were terrible. That was one of the day games I was on after, so I was like, God, like they did nothing well the entire game.
See, I thought Saturday's game was frustrating.
It was.
They put a couple of them yeah. up there. We could almost do a Twitter poll.
We could do a poll. I'll get back to the Twitter poll updates, by the way. You could vote on them at Danny Parkins. We'll do that in the 5 o'clock hour of the show. I'm genuinely interested in you as like not even casual NBA fan. You are a hockey guy. I am more basketball guy. Has what LeBron been doing in this run here, has that captivated you at all?
You're not a sports fan if it hasn't.
Okay.
I think what he's doing, and he's had a little bit of help in games two and three of this series.
Yeah.
And I know it's a painful series for you because you had Toronto, so you're going to lose a little.
Yeah, I'm an idiot.
But
it's okay. I'll lose again.
I find myself drawn. I won't watch the games from start to finish, but I'll punch in for a fourth quarter, or I'll make sure I see highlights. I'll go to NBA TV to make sure I get a highlight package. He's incredible.
And it's just the conversation around him, and one of my best friends in the world, Nick Wright at Fox Sports 1, he's a huge part of it. And so he knows I feel this way, so I'm not speaking out of school. But part of the conversation around LeBron has gotten a little nauseating, that it's always a like every game that LeBron plays is now we just need to update the
stat, where he stands
compared to Jordan or playoffs or this. And it's like what he's doing right now in year 15 at 33 years old is without equal. And so I am totally down just for some present tense analysis of LeBron James. You know,
won't get a fight from me on that because I think it's kind of a pointless argument as well. A lot of people like to have it. To me, it goes about as far as whether you put ketchup on a hot dog, that argument. You know, I might break a finger going to the button on the radio if they're engaged in that.
Yeah, you know, it's like, but see, to me, you can make a Jordan over LeBron or a LeBron over Jordan. It doesn't matter. Like, they are of different eras. They did not play against each other. They are both on the all-time starting five. They are unbelievable players. To me, it's just right now, how is LeBron still the best player in the world? How is that possible that he cannot win MVP, right? We've seen Westbrook win it. We've seen Durant win it. This year, Harden's going to win it. But every year, come playoff time, who's the guy that you would want? And it's LeBron. And all these guys are younger than him out there. And he keeps doing it, and he keeps reinventing himself. The numbers, like if he plays five more years, LeBron is going to be the all-time leading scorer. He will pass Kareem.
Mm-hmm.
He will be top five in assists, and he will be top 25 in rebounds. That is ridiculous.
It's pretty good.
It doesn't even make sense. And so, like, at some point, we need to stop looking for ways to poke holes in what he's doing and just say, we are watching an all-time great. We are watching the best at what he does presently, who somehow, some way, is defeating Father Time and is still on top of his game.
Danny, it's easy for me to do that because I don't get too emotionally tied up in it. I wasn't that emotionally attached to Jordan.
See, yeah.
And to the chagrin of some listeners, too. I can't be something I'm not. I don't react that emotionally to anything that happens in an NBA game at any time.
Sure. And those were my first great sports memories, right? I mean, I'm 10, 11, 12 years old for the second three-peat. My dad's firm at the time has tickets. I'm going to the games, whatever. We've talked about it before, the Father's Day, the whole thing. So I am emotionally attached to it. And I still as my rational brain allows me to or whatever, can still just be like, this is – there's never been anything definitively better. There's been different, right? Like, but it's – that's not the conversation that I really want to have. It's just he's on this level. He's in the room. If there's the Hall of Fame, but then there's that special wing of the Hall of Fame, right? Like in baseball where Willie Mays would be or Barry. Like, the extra level.
Happy birthday to Willie Mays, by the way.
Oh, really?
Belatedly.
Okay. You know,
Saturday, I think.
As I go across all the way to different sports, but.
No, let me say, hang with me for NBA. Is he your favorite player of all time?
Jordan?
What? LeBron James.
No, Jordan is.
Okay.
Yeah, Jordan is. Jordan okay. is my – I mean, because I have the nostalgia for my youth, and to say that I saw the greatest and going to those games with my dad, like, Jordan – I still have his jersey autographed hanging in my living room. Like, I'm an adult. Yeah. I should have moved beyond that.
Well, Jordan would be one of my three. James is another one, and I, as a sawed-off little guy, I always loved watching Allen Iverson play.
Pound for pound.
5'9", 165 pounds, working through screens that take 41 shots a night.
Anniversary of the practice rant is today.
Is it really?
Yeah, 16 years ago today, the Allen Iverson practice rant. No, the only thing I was going to say is one time I was at – when I was at the Super Bowl in Phoenix, the Pro Bowl was there the week before. So we were not staying for the game, but we flew in and we went to the Pro Bowl. And so I covered the Pro Bowl. And it struck me in the locker room of the best football players in the world – Drew Brees and J.J. Watt were on another level. Like, there were the All-Stars,
yeah, right.
And then there was that extra level of them. And once you get to that level, I don't really feel much of a need to parse greatness. Like, if you say that Tom Brady is the greatest quarterback ever,
right.
And I say it's Peyton Manning.
And we went to fight over it, yeah.
It's ludicrous.
Top five. That's all that needs to be said. Top five.
We've got a guy who's good enough to win a lot. You know what I mean? Like, that's the point. So, to me, that's where LeBron has been at. And you can't, like, you cannot have the two simultaneous things existing at the same time of, I love basketball and I hate LeBron James. And I don't know why people twist themselves into a knot trying to get into that spot. And the only reason you're doing it is because you're trying to defend Michael Jordan's honor, who, last I checked, isn't coming back and adding to his accolades anymore.
It's a very, very parochial attitude.
Yeah.
It's not a character flaw, but being provincial can limit you from appreciating things that might be a little bit out of your comfort zone.
Sure. And a lot of us have it with plenty of things, right? You're biased to your own experiences. If you were a Chicagoan and you get into a conversation about what's the better city, Chicago or New York, you're going to be maybe biased towards your hometown experience. But it's okay to acknowledge that, like,
New York's okay.
New York's okay.
Yeah, I like New York.
Central Park's pretty nice.
I'm a fan of the restaurants in New York. I like the hotels.
Broadway's a pretty good theater scene if you're into that sort of thing. Like, yeah, you can have multiple great things existing at the same time. But as a basketball fan, what LeBron is doing right now of adapting and changing his game, which we've now seen here with those fadeaways and elevating a bunch of scrubs around him and continuing to win. I watched a lot of Raptors games this year. I watch a lot of NBA. I legitimately thought, okay, LeBron's the best player, and then the Raptors have the second, third, and fourth best player, and then there's a debate there. So second, third, and fourth best plus rest plus home court would be enough.
You'd think so.
To overtop the best player.
Now, King Kong's got something else to say about that.
He's going to sweep them. He's going to sweep them. And then when he gets into the next round and he doesn't have home court, and again, the other team will have the second, third, and fourth best players on the floor, he's going to win again. It's an incredible thing that it seems like the only thing that can beat him are all-time teams, right? Like the Warriors,
which is what Golden State has.
Exactly. They are an all-time team and an all-time collection of talent. And so it makes you think about, like, if he was in a different, like, if you really want to do the era, because people will throw his finals record at him as if losing to Golden State
right.
in the finals is some notch.
Jordan's got six rings, my friend. Yeah, yeah,
right,
yeah,
right, right, right. Yeah. Take this guy and throw him into another era, and he's not losing in the finals either.
Ever.
He's just
ever. If he's walking, he's winning.
He's just playing in an era against an all-time collection of talent. And I have no problems whatsoever appreciating the greatness of LeBron James. And I can't imagine being even the smallest of sports fan or basketball fan and hating on it. I can't imagine.
But when you see greatness, even if it's not your thing, you got to appreciate it. I don't know how anybody can't.
Yeah, and the Western Conference Finals, by the way, when we get there, I think we're going to see a ton of records. I think there'll be scoring records, three-point made records with Houston and Golden State. I don't know if that's your brand of basketball. I know some people miss the dunks and the post play and back to the basket and all that. But we're going to get Houston and Golden State, and I don't really know who's going to win that one either, because I just think it's going to be a three-point shooting contest the entire series.
I'll take Golden State.
I'm with you. You
go
should.
On a limb.
Right.
Same guy who gave you Nova in the NCAA tournament.
I know.
And Justify on Saturday. Chalk City.
Houston will have home court. They'll have the MVP of the league this year. And some of their three-point numbers and usage rate numbers and pace numbers are right there with Golden State. Like, that's going to be a great series. But I've gotten pretty much every prediction wrong, so don't listen to me. We'll have Bruce Levine coming up at the top of the next hour. We'll update some Cubs poll questions that we had. This segment brought to you by Tomorrow Sleep, a new Tomorrow hybrid mattress crafted by the experts at Serta Simmons. Visit gettomorrowsleep.com. Use code TRAFFIC3 for $200 off when you spend $500 or more. We're McNeil and Parkins on the Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.